I think it will take centuries for a lot of the prejudices at the core of people's being to go away. I think we'll get there in the end, but I think the mind moves way ahead of the instinct. What we think is our instinct actually is more prejudice. David Gilmour, and I'm in the studio with Redbeard for the playing of my new album, Rattle That Lock.
At what point did you realize that your creative relationship with Polly had evolved from her contributing to actually a collaboration together?
I suppose that's been a thing that has been slowly sinking into my poor dull brain for the last 20-something years. But I think I've got it now. And I am better for it. And the work that I produce is better for it. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Well, you know, we call it a solo album, but I mean, she's a big part of it. It's sort of... Really, it's a team effort in many ways. You know, Polly's shares with me everything on the writing of the lyrics and her views on how the music should be and how the singing should be. You know, she's not as expert as me, but her opinions are always very well worth listening to. The other aspect to the time of the Division Bell was that she didn't want it to be. She didn't want to be outed as a person who had had much to do with it, and she was worried about antagonism from fans that she might be taking part, that my partner might be taking over too much of a role within the whole Pink Floyd thing. But you know, I think they can see now, and we all can see what a great job she does for and with me.
In March of 2006 for On an Island, at the time you told me that the only hesitation had been, and I quote, the public's well-known difficulties with the wives and lovers of well-known men, end quote.
Yeah.
Apparently, you feel, has there been a sea change?
I don't think there's been a sea change in society. I mean, I think there's still an enormous amount of prejudice against all sorts of people, you know, women, people of different sexual orientation, religious. The world is rife with prejudice still, and we're deluded if we think it's gone away. But I suspect in this particular rather small, lightweight area of popular music, anyone who knows me and what I do is well up to date on the fact that I have a partner in life and in work that is a big part of me and the work that I do. And I think they've probably mostly accepted it by now, and if they haven't, well...
Mark Knopfler told me that times change, but people don't.
I think it will take centuries for a lot of the prejudices at the core of people's being to go away. I think we'll get there in the end, but I think the mind moves way ahead of the instinct, or you could what one might call the instinct. I'd call the instinct probably the result of years of being indoctrinated in one way or another. What we think is our instinct actually is more prejudice. Harmless and very light in most people in most ways, but it's still there.
Rattle that lock, lose those chains. Rattle that lock.
On the first listen to the title song, Rattle That Lock, I must confess that I did not recognize your voice.
Really?
How was it decided to bump the song up into the very top key of your vocal range?
Well, that's one of those strange things I don't think about at the time, you know. Music just comes to me, and the first key that it arrives to me in is the one I tend to record it in, and I therefore then try to find a melody that suits me and my voice. But that one sounded like a jolly up-tempo tune. And
now, that elevated key and the toe-tapping tempo, it really contrasts with the weighty, lyrical call to some emotional heavy lifting.
I think they are inspirational. You know, they are saying to people to, you know, not let yourself be beaten down by society, by things that impinge on you, and to stand up for yourself and fight your way out of things.
It is a mature. I mean, we're talking about original sin.
It's couched in terms and words that are related to John Milton's Paradise Lost, but it's about universal themes. It's about the way our world today seems to be, you know, closing in on people a lot. A lot of our freedoms are slowly being eroded by governments, certainly the one over here in the UK, and I think same thing in the States. The increased level of security that the internet and other things have created makes normal, ordinary freedoms feel as if they are being eroded to me and Polly. And this is a call to fight against that.
Joining us in the studio, the lyricist on Pink Floyd's The Division Bell, The Endless River, and David Gilmour's 2006 solo album On an Island, novelist Polly Sampson. The elevated key of David singing in like the most upper parts of his register,
yeah,
and the toe-tapping tempo on Rattle That Lock. The master of that contrast is Paul Simon.
Oh, and Leonard Cohen. You know, you think about a song like Closing Time, you know, with that great kind of little disco kind of
good
thing
point
going on, and then that incredibly serious lyric.
So was this a creative device to address such sober subjects as original sin, to quote, go back to where we blew it?
Yeah, it's a song that was very much, it started with the idea of, you know, having heard the music, I had it very much in mind that I wanted to write a song about people just, you know, shaking a fist at things they didn't agree with, even if they couldn't change it. That, you know, sitting apathetically, you know, hating the world is not actually the thing that makes you feel good. The thing that makes you feel good is jumping to your feet and protesting. One day I was, you know, had it in my headphones and I was miles from home and I suddenly remembered this book two of Paradise Lost, you know, where Satan has been expelled from heaven, and it's the book two is about his journey to go and, you know, shake his fist at God, and then he gets sort of sidetracked when he sees the earth hanging by a golden chain and decides to go and snoop around there instead. And while I was listening to the music, I suddenly thought, oh, that is what I need. That's where I'm going to find the way to express what I mean. And I ran back to the house and straight into my Milton and sort of read book two again and got everything I wanted.
Again, David Gilmour with me. You know, whether recording a stanza that Polly wrote last night or interpreting a Roger Waters second person rumination from 40 years ago on Wish You Were Here, it occurred to me that you've, throughout your career, sung the thoughts and the observations of others.
Yeah.
How do you approach that?
It takes thought and it takes concentration. I mean, you have to live and breathe and believe the words you're saying. With most of Roger's very brilliant lyrics, and with Polly's lyrics too, I find that I can do that. I hope that I do it justice. But it is something you do often think about. But, you know, you force yourself to be the person who is using those words as if they were their own. I know I'm only borrowing them. I mean, I've written enough songs with words of my own to know how it's done. So.
Of course. Give me an example, though, where you didn't, on first submission, either understand or agree with the premise. What's the process for making it your own?
It's very difficult to give a real example of something which I couldn't understand or believe in sufficiently. You know, there have been songs where I've said to Roger, I'd just rather not be the singer on this one. You do it. Most of it has been stuff that I really have shared a belief in. With Roger, there's a lot more agreement on things of that he has written than you might sometimes be led to believe.
You were here.
That terrific reading of Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here comes from the sumptuous David Gilmour Live in Gdansk CD-DVD set. Next, David Gilmour, along with lyricist Polly Sampson, will share inspiration, retina burned by world events, and the universal emotions that bind us all, found on the album Rattle That Lock. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with David Gilmour for Rattle That Lock.
This is David Gilmour. I'm in the studio with Redbeard for the playing of my new album, Rattle That Lock.
Each of your last two solo albums have been waylaid in their 11th hours by headline world-shaking music news. On an Island had the Live 8 Pink Floyd reunion. And this
That was a year before, but yeah, nearly a year before. That was in the summer of 2005.
Right. And this one had about the same period between the Endless River flood in last fall.
Yeah.
How much of a distraction have those been? And is it more of a distraction for you or us in the media?
I don't remember the Live 8 thing being a major distraction. I mean, it was just taking whatever time off it was, thinking about it, doing a few rehearsals and doing the show. The Endless River was a bigger distraction. It meant I had to down tools, put this whole album away on the shelf for a period of time. I can't remember quite how long. I'd say at least 4 months. You can't do things by half measures. You have to get on with whatever you're going to be doing. And The Endless River had reached a point before the record was even released. I was back hard at work in the studio on this record, practically forgotten its existence by the time it came out.
You're referring to Endless River. It's interesting that you downplayed the Live 8, and yet Polly surprised me when she said that it inspired, the actual event backstage in the green room actually inspired the lyrics to The Endless River.
The moments that where she has been together in a situation with Nick, Rick, Roger, and I, and she sees the dynamic between us, you know, albeit in its sort of more dysfunctional phase of the later periods, led her to seeing there are a lot of periods of time when we just sit there and don't really talk. And then suddenly when we stand together and make music together, there's a different sort of magic, a different dynamic that takes over. And that was what inspired that lyric. Yeah, I couldn't speak for other artists, but our relationship as human beings towards each other has always been dysfunctional. And I think Polly's words for Louder Than Words really captured that in spot on.
Gilmore on the album Rattle That Lock, getting his groove on with the song Today. One glance or listen to the headlines of today prove that the withering war in the Middle East has spilled over the boundaries and burial grounds of continents in any tongue. This song on Rattle That Lock hit me powerfully the very first time I listened. Polly writes, and you sing, I know that sorrow tastes the same on any tongue.
Yeah.
What life events in the headlines or in your personal experience gave you the confidence to deliver such a powerful thought?
What people are left with after the conflicts that go on, you know, the guilt, the reflections on whether you did the right thing. Is it always right to serve your country in whatever it asks you to do? You know, can you really think about human beings when you are flying a drone with a joystick from a room in the USA, and the drone that you're flying is, you know, can be taking out innocent people in Afghanistan or somewhere else. I mean, these are all issues that are very, very pertinent in our world today. And I'm very proud to be able to sing Polly's thoughts and to have written a vehicle that suits her thoughts so well in the case of this song, in any tongue.
What has
lyricist on the Rattle That Lock album, Polly Sampson, followed by singer David Gilmour. You write and David sings, "I know that sorrow tastes the same on any tongue."
Yeah, that was the first line that came to me for the song, actually.
Wow. What life events, and in the headlines or in your personal experience, gave you that insight?
Oh, God, how can we not have that insight?
There is a movement, a very strong, vocal, powerful, loud movement right now in America to reduce anybody who doesn't think like certain Americans to an otherness, to reduce their humanity. And I think this song addresses
that. Yeah, no, that is entirely what this song is about. I mean, it's about that, and it's about PTSD, and it's about the reasons for war, and it's, you know, trying to do it in a, you know, 3-minute song. It's, you know, the choice of the word joystick in that song is quite deliberate as well, you know, which is that the way that video games are used, things like Call of Duty, you know, when soldiers have a lot of time sitting around and playing those games, you know, there is the question of, you know, how desensitizing is that? And so, you know, joystick stands both for the joystick on a console and the joystick on a, you know, army helicopter. Yeah.
Who's the protagonist here? Because the words are delivered in the first person, and I get the feeling maybe these voices that we're hearing, are there several different first person perspectives?
There are two main voices, which could even be four main voices. It, you know, I didn't want to be very specific about who's returning. I mean, it's in both verses and both choruses. It's a father whose son is returning, you know, with some sort of PTSD, and I didn't want to sort of specify what the war was and which country he was returning to. But you know, the first verse is that the soldier has gone for reasons of patriotism, and the second verse is that the soldier has been gone for reasons of faith. So that could apply, you know, to many situations. I mean, tragically, to most situations.
Mm. And when you write, "I hear that mama sounds the same in any tongue," that is,
that
cuts through all the noise.
From, and I think it was a news story that I squirreled away somewhere, which was this thing of someone had done some sort of research and they found that mama was the word that soldiers most commonly cried out as they died.
We here in England use drones. I imagine every other nation, military nation in the world, is using drones these days. There's no anti-American bias to do with that. You know, we're here in England, you know, we were very, a lot of us, myself, Polly included, were very against the war in Iraq all those years ago that our lovely Tony Blair led us into.
Well, for us, it's never ended.
Yeah. Well, you know, these things are never ending. And the rights and wrongs of all those conflicts are never made clear, never made honest and clear to the people who live in either one of those countries that are warring with each other. It's just never going to be the way it's done. True clarity and honesty is not the way the powerful in our nations get to be able to do the things they do. It's done with secrecy.
In any tongue, she writes and you sing, "I hear that mama sounds the same in any tongue." Boy, I don't know if I could have sung that without choking up.
You know, young men who don't really know what they're doing or why they're there are dying in places all over the world, and breathing their last words. Many of them saying "mama" as the last thing they say before they peg out. The world will get better eventually, I imagine.
Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with David Gilmour for Rattle That Lock.
David Gilmour. I'm in the studio with Redbeard for the playing of my new album, Rattle That Lock.
Has it been impressed upon you that with all of a terrific writer like Pauly's abilities with language and the skills and the emotion and the profundity, there's still places on Rattle That Lock where my notes I've written where, you know, you've played a tortured solo, or you're pouring out on the guitar, playing goes to a place that's really kind of beyond words. Are you aware of that? That you have that ability?
No, I'm not allowed to not be aware of it. That's what Pauly tells me. That's what she's saying in the words to louder than words. And she always says that I should, basically, I should conduct interviews by listening to a question and then playing guitar for the answer and not bothering with the speaking. Shall we do that? No, I haven't got an amp here. You know, I'm reasonably articulate, but I'm a little slow at getting the words out sometimes.
Does a musician conceived during the Division Bell tour, mid-90s, have, in the 21st century, any chance of sustaining a 50-year recording career such as you've had?
God knows, I'm not a prophet. You know, it doesn't happen to very many people. I'm incredibly fortunate that I can still continue to do what I love doing and that it you know, is sufficiently liked to keep me in work at this after all these years. I'm thrilled by it all. I've no idea when. I'm sure, you know, we just can't imagine. I mean, the fact is something will come up that will, you know, next year, 10 years time, 20 years time, something brilliant will come up, and it'll be what everyone wants to be listening to for a long, long time.
What I'm wondering is, have you had any discussions about our always-on, always-connected world and how it's going to affect creative careers, not just in music, but in publishing, in acting?
It's moving too fast. I mean, I say too fast. It's moving at a speed that we can't comprehend. The possibilities of computers, the internet and everything are changing our world so fast that we won't know how it will affect us in the long term for years and years and years. I mean, I suspect people will look back in 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, and some of the issues, you know, to do with copyrights, free music, free art, all these things will maybe have been resolved, because it would be a worse world if no one could afford to indulge their creative activities and make a living at it.
Hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody in there? Just nod if you can hear me. Is there anyone? are. But you may feel a little sick. Can you stand up? I do believe it's working good. If that'll keep you going through the show. Come on, it's time to go. There is no pain, you are receding. A distant ship smoke on the horizon. You are only coming through in waves. Your lips move, but I can't hear what you're saying.
I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests David Gilmour and Polly Sampson. Special thanks to Dos Pablos, Rapp, and Losby. In the Studio is written by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2015, all rights reserved. Transcription, Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter, at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net.